having a good time. Amen? Now, I want to have a good time after church as well in a Corvette that I saw in the parking lot. Who owns the vet? Where's that guy at? Where's that? The older guy? Oh, we've been, sir, me and you need to have a meeting in your office out in the parking lot. And I'm talking about a good, strong meeting. Not, you know, meeting, okay? I love the new Corvettes, amen? But more than that, I love people. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. And I love being in His house. Pastor, thank you so much for giving me this Sunday, this opportunity to speak to your great people, great church. You guys look beautiful, amen? Amen? This guy's like, stop it. I love Jesus. I love that God has given me the ability to go after the lost and care for the lost. I love seeing people come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the greatest miracle that can take place on planet Earth is? A lot of people don't know this. Do you know what the greatest miracle that can take place on planet Earth? It's not when God heals somebody of a sickness, of a terminal illness, of cancer or AIDS or something. It's not even when God raises somebody out of a wheelchair or even raises somebody from the dead. And how many of you know He's still doing that today? God is still a miracle working God, a healing working God. But God said in His Word that the greatest miracle that can take place is when somebody simply receives Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. The greatest miracle that can take place is simply, Pastor, when somebody receives Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. And I want you guys to know out here, I'm a man's man. I watch man movies, okay? I don't watch chick flicks. I don't watch The Horse Whisperer. I don't watch, you know, that's torture to me. I don't watch stuff like The Notebook. Man, throw the book away. Stop. I watch men movies. Amen, guys? Okay? I don't cook veggie burgers. I'm a man. Let's get real. I'm from Texas. I want an Angus burger and put bacon on it, okay? Let's get real. But I want to be honest, I am a man's man. But I understand what salvation means. And when somebody simply receives Jesus as Lord of their life, that when I see this all across America and them speaking those words to receive Jesus to come into their heart, to come into their lives, that's when my manhood stops and I cry. Because I understand that right in front of me, the greatest miracle that God can give just happened. The greatest miracle that took place, that can take place, just happened in front of me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of such a ministry as Power for Life Ministries, where last year we saw 170,000 people come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That we are the number one school assembly in the nation, did over 1,000 schools last year. We are the number one school assembly in the nation. And listen to me, parents, grandparents, praise God that the number one school assembly in the nation is a Christian organization. Amen. Let me ask you this. How many of you parents or grandparents would love to see prayer put back into the public schools of America? How many think it's that time? Oh, pastor's taking notes. It's on. I would love to see prayer put back into the public schools of America. Not just prayer, but honestly, I would love to see Jesus put back into the public schools of America. One woman got prayer ripped out of the public schools of America. You guys know that? One lady by the name of Miss O'Hare got prayer ripped out of the public schools of America. And in that day, in that courtroom, listen to me, church, in that day, in that courtroom, there wasn't one pastor. There wasn't one evangelist. There wasn't one church member. There wasn't one representative of God. And on that day, in that courtroom, Miss O'Hare got prayer ripped out of the public schools of America. Church, that single day is the day that teen suicide started going up. Teen pregnancy started rising. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse is higher than it's ever been, and it started on that day. Parents, grandparents, church, listen to me. How many believe it is time that the church gets fed up, gets fired up, gets filled up, we stand up, and we take back what the devil has stolen from the public schools of America, especially in your hometown? How many think the kids here in Arcadia, they need some Jesus right now? They seriously need some Jesus. I have a, you can go online, and I look it up everywhere I go before I go there, and I have my office staff look it up, and they tell me, what's the drug rating in Arcadia in the public schools? What's the alcohol rating going on in teenagers here in Arcadia, Florida? What's happening right here in the public schools in Arcadia, Florida? I want you to know, right here in Arcadia, you have it all. You have it all sitting right here in this town. But how many of you know you guys got a great town? How many know you got a great church that God has placed right in the middle of this great town? How many of you know the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy this great town? Church, listen to me. The devil has an open door into these schools right here, into the hallways, into the classrooms, into the lunchrooms. Not just the colleges, not just the high schools, not the middle schools now. How do you know? He has opened the doors wide open even into the elementary schools. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy the ones we love the most. Pastor, I believe I figured out why the devil hates the kids so much. I literally do. I've done this for 20, this is my 20th year of doing this. 20th year of being a part of a ministry like this. And I think I just figured out truly why the devil is after the ones we love the most, our children. The children of all. Why is the devil after them? I believe I figured it out. Because Jesus said literally in His Word, don't mess with the children, they belong to Me. Jesus said it. Don't mess with the children, they belong to Me. Guess who the devil is messing with? Guess who the devil's going after? The ones we love the most. Our children. The next generation of Christians. The next generation of our belief. Of this belief. Our legacy. The devil's after to destroy him. To kill them. I believe God is looking for an army. God is looking for a church in a city that says enough is enough. Enough is enough. And you want to know something? From getting to know Pastor Scott for a little bit and some of the other pastors, but especially this guy right here, I think you have the right pastor at the right place at the right time to stand up, to lead a church, and that church is the one that stands up and goes, enough is enough. Amen. Pastor, it's an honor to be here this morning. And I'm excited about what God is going to do this morning. I'm fired up. I'm loaded up. I probably preach a lot like you, don't I? Yeah, confusion just set in right now. Right, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Wait till I get excited. My adrenaline will get flowing here in a little bit. It is an honor and a pleasure for me to be here this morning. But I want to be honest, I get more excited about what God is going to do. I'm glad that I get to be here. I'm glad that I get this Sunday. And I'm glad that there this Sunday morning, I'm glad I get to minister Jesus to you. This is the body of Christ. It's an honor to be here. The Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. And I'm here. I'm not going to neglect you. Don't neglect me. Do not neglect the gathering of the saints. This is where the saints meet. This is how I know you guys are blessed right now. Because you're doing what God's called you to do. Your family will be blessed because you're doing what God's called you to do. And that is not neglect the gathering of the saints. It's you. You're doing it. How many of you know you're saints? Kind of weird, isn't it? Kind of weird. I never looked at me as a saint. Saint Jared. But I get more excited about what God is going to do. I'm more excited about what God is going to do tonight, Pastor Scott. I'm more excited about 6 o'clock, what's going to take place at 6 o'clock tonight. See, tonight is about souls. Tonight is about people. Tonight, I want this place filled. This place is, 75, 80% full right now, but I want it full tonight with people. And not just people, Pastor Scott. I want the lost in here. When I say I want the lost, I want the devil's generals here tonight. And I mean that. I want the alcoholics, the bartenders, the drug dealers, the drug users, the runaways. I want them all in here tonight. And you watch what God does. Because tonight is not going to be church as normal. Amen. How many of you done with church as normal? Amen. I got to clap. He's the guy who likes bacon on his burger. When I say church is normal, I want you to understand what I mean. I want to clarify. I go to a church, and my church is normal. But listen to me. When God shows up, how many of you know normal just went out the door? When God shows up, normal just left the building. How many of you want God to show up? That's what I'm talking about. I want God to show up in my life, in my home, in my car, in my family, in my spouse, in my children, I want God to show up everywhere. Why? Because when God shows up, who He is and what He is shows up with Him, and you just threw Norm out of the picture. Because when God shows up, things happen, like people walk on water. How many of you know that's out of the norm? Amen? For some reason, the cancer disappears. How many of you know that's out of the norm? How many know finances just show up? How many know that's out of the norm? Like somebody just blesses you, like giving you a gray Corvette. I mean, it's out of the norm. I'm just speaking it, okay? It's okay to dream. Listen to me. God wants to bless your life, but listen to me. If you love God, get ready for abnormal. Because when God shows up, abnormal things happen. God things happen in your life. How many of you want a God thing to take place in your life? Amen? Of course. I am excited about tonight, Pastor. It's not going to be church as normal. All I need you to do is move this right here. Right here. I need this out of the way because tonight I'm going after souls. You're going to see me. How many of you saw us already? You've seen the team. Wow, quite a few of you. All right, we are those, if you don't know who we are, let me lay it out for you. We are those big, strong Christian guys on Christian television that break the bricks and rip the phone books and snap the baseball bats and blow up hot water bottles and break out of handcuffs. How many of you have ever seen that before? That is us. And now, how many of you ever saw us on Walker Texas Ranger with Chuck Norris? How many of you saw? Oh, quite a few of you. I was actually on there. That was back when I was sexy looking at a mullet. Yep. Back in the 90s, baby, I was rolling it too. I saw pictures of you, Scotty. He was awesome too. Yep. How many of you know it? Chuck Norris came to a crusade. He received Jesus through our ministry. He came to a crusade in Carrollton, Texas. And I remember I was on stage and I was given the word, and Chuck Norris was sitting in the front row, him and his wife. And when I gave the invitation to receive Jesus, he came forward. And I remember sitting, and he was right in front of me, and there's probably about 100 people who received Jesus that night. And I just saw tears come down Chuck Norris's face. The greatest miracle you can receive, he just received it. That night, he called his whole family, Pastor Scott, called his whole family. Flew all 19 members of his family in to Carrollton, Texas. How many know it's nice to have money? He flew his whole family in. Flew them all in. And the next night, 19 members of the Norris family came forward and they all received Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. That's what's going to happen here in Arcadia, Florida. hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families are going to come receive Jesus as Lord of their lives, and they're going to get plugged into this church. How many of you know that's a God thing? How many think it's time we filled this church up for Jesus? How many think it's time, man, this church gets full of people to worship God in this place? With that worship, with, I mean, and I know, Pastor Scott, you only have one guy who eats veggie burgers. And from what it sounded like, that was an experience for them. Was that you? Is this your wife? Okay. Pastor, anybody here can take me out to lunch except them. All right? The guy with the bacon, where's my baconator guy? Let's do it. Everything tastes better with what? Gosh, I'm going to have a bacon tree in heaven. I am. Next to my chicken wing tree. It's on. I am. I'm going to have a chicken wing tree and the sap is ranch. It's on. You guys will know what house is mine when you get there. Tonight is about souls. Tonight is about kingdom. Tonight is about bringing people to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm going to get up here, and you're going to see me snapping a bat, ripping phone books, blowing up stuff, exploding things, rolling things up, bending steel in my teeth. But I want to make something so clear to you today. Snapping a bat won't change anybody's life. Ripping a phone book won't save anybody. Bending steel in my teeth won't change anybody's life. The only thing that can change your life is Jesus Christ. I don't care nothing about snapping a bat. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the number two consumer of Louisville Slugger baseball bats. We literally are. We go through anywhere between 15 up through 150 bats per week. The manager said that a Louisville Slugger baseball bat, it takes over 400 pounds of pressure to snap one right off the assembly line. That's what it takes. I care less about the bat. When the bat is broken, how many know it becomes worthless? But it gets people's attention. It's just the bait to get their attention. Breaking bricks. People ask me this all the time. They're like, Jared, do you just go home and like rip phone books in your house? No. Do you like set up bricks in your driveway and just hit them when people drive by? Whoa. Never. That's weird. I'd be kicked out of my neighborhood. You know? Why? Because it means absolutely nothing. It's just the bait to get their attention. And it's a good bait. Last year, we saw over 170,000 people come to Jesus because of this bait. I think it's foolish. I mean, I never drive my head through a slab of concrete. That's weird. But if it brings people to Jesus, how many know? I'm driving my head through a slab of concrete. I'm the boss now. Other guys on the team will be slamming their head through a stack of concrete. Pastor, I want you to know something. The older I get, the more I learn how to delegate. Amen? Amen. It's true. I'm excited about October and what God is going to do in October here. I'm excited about tonight. Tonight at 6 o'clock, it's free. I want everybody here. Every single person here. And not just every person. I want every single one of you to invite somebody here tonight. It's not going to be church as normal. This is where it starts for October. I want to get a lot of momentum going for October. Tonight's not going to be church as normal. I can't press that enough. But every single one of you, I need you here tonight. But every single one of you right now, you have five friends who don't know Jesus. Every single person in here right now, you have five friends who don't know Jesus. And you're thinking about them right now. It's your neighbor, your coworker, your loved one, a family member, the little demon child that terrorizes the neighborhood. Whoever it is, get them here tonight at 6 o'clock and you watch what God does. Watch what God does. Because tonight, it's about souls. Tonight, it's about salvation. That's what it's about. How many of you can make it tonight? Think about it. How many of you can make it tonight? Quite a few of you, praise God. Hey, listen to me. There's no football tonight. The Cowboys aren't playing. They haven't played in like 4 years. It's been a while. Hey, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I got to be honest. They need to play this year. I know the Olympics is on, but guess what? Michael Phelps is going to win. We understand that. Okay? Let's be about God's business tonight. Let's be about God tonight. Let's be about souls. And there's one thing that I've learned is when you're about what God's about, He'll be about what you're about. When you're about God's things, He'll be about your things. And people are coming to Jesus here tonight. The greatest miracle that can take place is going to happen here tonight. And when you're about that, God will be about you. I've learned that. How many of you want God to be about what you're about? Be honest. You want God to be about what you're about. Then be about what He's about. And if you don't know what God's about, I'm going to tell you. He's about people. He's about souls. And even more so, He's about sinners. He sent His Son Jesus to die for sinners. So let's be about that tonight. It'll only be about an hour long. Maximum, an hour. We can go back and watch Michael Phelps win, okay? But let's be about what God's about tonight. You know, I am excited to be here this morning, and God's given me something to say. And I was praying this morning. I was actually praying all this week, Pastor Scott, on what I was going to speak this morning. I was like, God, give me a word. Give me something. God actually gave me something this morning for this church. And I know I don't have much time. Pastor said I only have like 3 hours. That's a joke, by the way. How many of you have ever heard of the Make-A-Wish Foundation? Let me see your hands. You've ever heard of the Make-A-Wish Foundation? Okay, so I get phone calls all the time in my office. I get phone calls quite a bit in my office about different things, having us come do different things, having us come do different functions. Most of the time it's pastors all over the United States or even overseas for us to come to their church. But every once in a while, I will receive a phone call from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. If you don't know what the Make-A-Wish Foundation is, it was a Christian organization started by a man many, many, many years ago. And what it comes down to is children that have a terminal illness have 3 wishes that they get before they pass away. You guys understand that, right? I just want to make that clear. These children with terminal illnesses, cancer, just stuff that's going on in their body, before they pass away, they get 3 wishes that they get in this life. And I received a phone call right after we were on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. We did a big live show on TBN. I received a phone call from the Children's Hospital downtown Dallas, Texas, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And they simply asked me, the kids here in Children's Hospital, one of their wishes for the Make-A-Wish Foundation is they want to see you live. How many of you know when they ask that, how many of you know you're in? You're in. And I remember hanging up. It was a weird sensation that I've never had before in my life. Pastor Scott, I literally hung the phone up and I started crying because it was a weird sensation because I sat there and I pondered on things that these kids have 3 wishes before they pass away. Disney World, whatever it is that they want, they can make it happen. Whatever it is. And one of their wishes before they pass away is to see me. I mean, no, that makes you step back and think a little bit. I asked the charge nurse of the Children's Hospital, said, how many kids are going to be there? She said, there's 42 of them. 42 kids. Praise God, we are in. I called the team up, man. I flew the whole team in, Pastor, to downtown Dallas, Texas, to go to the Children's Hospital. 42 kids, their last wish is to see us live. How many know we were fired up? We were going to give these kids a show they've never seen before in their lives. Pastor, we ordered 42 shirts of every single size and color because we didn't know how many were girls or guys or size or anything. 42 bats, 42 bars, 42 phone books. Man, we had bricks brought in. We had churches sponsoring it, getting behind us. People donated. We have what is called Power Partners that, man, they sent money towards these kids to get us in there to do all this stuff. It was just an amazing thing. And we had this one time that God opened up the door. That's how I viewed it. To reach the Make-A-Wish children that are sick. Have you ever been to a place, Pastor Scott, that you're excited to go and you're excited to do it, and then when you got there, it was more of a blessing to you than you probably were to them? How many of you have ever had that situation happen to you? So we walk in. We had a room, probably cut this room in half. We had a little makeshift stage, and man, we set up the bricks, and I had the guys there. Man, the news channel shows up, and man, we're in our uniforms and our tank tops, and we have the box of bats from Louisville Slugger, and we wanted to make sure that every single kid gets one of everything. This is their last dream. So they start bringing these kids out, Pastor Scott. I guess I didn't prepare myself. They started bringing these kids out. And I can't even give you the visual of what I was seeing when these kids came out with half of their head shaved and they just had surgery and they're hooked up to machines and they're still in their beds and they're wheeling them out. And it took me back a lot. It just took me back. Made me take big deep breaths. It made me hurt for these children that started coming out and that they're fighting for their lives. And as they came out, I was literally doing my best to put it together. Literally doing my best. The team stepped up. We prayed. We went out there. We started breaking bricks, giving them the show. These kids are cheering and having a good time, and they're shaking in their wheelchairs, and they're cheering the best they can while they're sitting up in their beds, and their parents are with them. And there was a point that I had to stop, Pastor. There's a point where I went around the pillar, and I lost it, and I started crying. I literally lied. I had to give in. I started crying. And I remember big Jim Griffin, who will be coming with me, played for the Raiders, won Oklahoma's Strongest Man. He'll be here when I come in October. Man, he came around the pillar and he goes, "Jared, why? Oh, you're crying. Hurry up. I'm next." Is what he said. And he left. Literally, man, you're just like, dude, I just have to give in. And literally, it was like that. I came out, man, and I patted Jim on the back. He goes, "Okay, good, my turn." And he literally goes back. You just got to let it out. How many have ever been there? Man, just let me cry this out real quick. Oh, my gosh. Okay, put it back together. Because you want to be strong for them. As I was there, I counted how many kids were there to make sure that we were all in order on how many kids are there, make sure I have stuff for every single person, every single child. And as I counted, there was 11 children missing. I counted them again, and I counted them again. I went to the charge nurse and said, "Ma'am, I just called you, and you told me there was 42 kids here. There's 11 of them missing." And she goes, "Well," and I'm waiting for the bad news. I'm like, Whoa. I don't need it to get worse right now. She goes, "Well, no, they're still alive." I'm like, "Okay." She goes, "But some of them are fighting right now. Some of them are hurting right now." And I said, "What's that?" I said, "Ma'am, what's that mean?" I said, "Are you telling me they're down this hallway in their rooms, but they're hurting right now that they're not able to come out and see their wish? Their last wish? Is to see me?" And she goes, "That is correct." She goes, "But some of the parents came out and took pictures of you guys while you were doing it." And I said, "Wait, so they're in a room right here, hearing us scream, cheer, yell, have the time of our lives, and it's the live show, and it's their last wish of their life before they pass away, and they can't, so they're this close to seeing it, but they're unable to because they're hurting right now? Well, yes. I turn around and I look back at the team. Literally, I look back at the team, and I see, man, their arms are bruised up from the bats and the bars, and Big Jim has blood coming down his arm. He says, "Jared, we've got a saying in Texas." He goes, "It's time to cowboy up." That's what he said. And I looked at all the guys and I said, "Are you serious?" They go, "Let's go." JR, how many remember JR? Big black guy. He literally grabbed the thing of materials that was on a box that wasn't supposed to move, and he literally grabbed it and he started dragging the whole thing down the hallway. Thing weighed probably 500 pounds. Just started dragging it down the hallway. Just passed me up. That day, church, we went from room to 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 room doing a whole nother show to a party of one. Now we're all bleeding. You know, when you break a bat will come up and get you. I have scars all over my body. I've been in airplanes, and they look at my arms. They're like, "Were you a cutter?" I'm in concussions, staples, stitches. I'm like, "We're good. We're already in the hospital. We're here. Let's go. Let's do this." See, bleeding's nothing. They're fighting for their lives. I said all that to get to this point right here, to get to this story, this part of the story. A lady, a charge nurse on another floor, heard we were in the hospital. She came up and she simply asked, she said, "Jared, we heard you're here. When you get done up here, can you come downstairs? I want to show you something." That's what she said. I said, "Okay, great." So after we were done upstairs, we took the pictures with all the kids, signed autographs on the t-shirts, gave them everything. And when we were done, I went down, me and the team, we walked downstairs into onto a floor, into a facility. I'm not a doctor. But we went into a NICU. How many of you know what a NICU is? If you don't know what a NICU is, it's an abbreviation for Neonatal Intensive Care Unit. The Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. If you don't know what the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit is, because I didn't, it is when a child is born with a disease, with a problem. Children are born into this world because their parents had a disease. There's babies that were in there. The day that I was there, there was a baby that was there that was born with full HIV AIDS. Full AIDS because the mother had AIDS. They're addicted. These babies are born addicted to meth. They're born addicted to heroin. They're born addicted to cocaine. They're born addicted to these addictions. And man, I remember walking in there. What is the little glass things they're in? An incubator. So I walk in this. We had to like scrub in. We had to put this outfit on. We had to put gloves on. We had to put a hairnet over us. We had to put little shoe booties over our shoes and gloves on and everything. And we had something over our face and glasses and everything. And as we walked in this place, as I walked in there, there's these incubators with little babies. And I can't describe it to you. It's a visual you never want to have. I'm going to be honest. As I walked in, I said, "Oh, why? And literally, why are we here? Why? This just got worse." I remember this one baby in this incubator, Pastor Scott. It was a little girl, infant baby. And it had a little machine with an arm that was pressing on the baby's chest to do the heartbeat for the baby. And as I sat there, just looking at this, I said to the charge nurse, I said, ma'am, why am I here? I literally said, I don't like being here. I don't like what I'm seeing right now. I got to be honest. I went from bad to worse. What is going on? And she literally looked at me and she goes, no, you didn't. And I went, oh, you got some explaining to do. I don't like what I see right now. She looked at me and she made it clear. She goes, God has these babies. I said, okay. She goes, I want you to follow me. We walked down this aisle with the incubators on both sides. It wasn't a big room. As we walked through, I turned around to look at the team, and these men of God stepped up. As I turned around, I look. The man of God, the ministers they are, the preachers and pastors and praise and worship and power for life guys that they are, I turn around and look, and they start laying hands on these incubators and just started praying over these babies and started speaking life over these little beautiful babies. And as we walked through, there was a big blue curtain. And the nurse looked at me and she goes, this is why I brought you here. I said, okay. She grabbed the blue curtain and she opened it up, and behind this blue curtain was 12 rocking chairs. Literally, Pastor, 12 rocking chairs. And as she opened up the curtain and I saw those 12 rocking chairs, I went, oh my gosh, this is a fundraiser. She's going to sell us rocking chairs. And at that moment, how many of you know? We would have bought rocking chairs. We would have been in. I would have bought all 12 of them. And I asked her, I said, ma'am, are you trying to sell me a rocking chair? Because I like this one. I don't care. She goes, no. She goes, I want to tell you about this rocking chair right here in the middle. So she said, this rocking chair right here is Miss Johnston's. Not Johnson, but Johnston. Mrs. Johnston, you can Google it. Not right now. But you can Google it. You literally can. Miss Johnston is an 88-year-old lady who lives across the street from the children's hospital. She lives in a, what, retirement house, home, village? What is it? She outlived her husband. Her son died of cancer. She's 88 years old. She loves Jesus with all of her heart. And she literally said in her home, in the living house, whatever, retirement home, she literally told God, as long as I have breath in my lungs and a heartbeat, Lord, use me. God, use me. I just don't want to sit in this place and do nothing and wither away. God, please use me. How many of you know, when you ask God to use you, get ready. Because I believe God is looking for people to use right now. God is needing people to use right now. In this day and age that we live in right now, God needs the church to go, how do you want to use me? Whatever you tell me to do, I'm in. Mrs. Johnston, 88 years old, said, God, use me. God told her, I want you to go across the street and I want you to pray for the babies in the NICU. She got up, went across the street, and this is the charge nurse telling me the story. Mrs. Johnston got up, came across the street, she walked in through those doors, and she said, I'm here to pray for the babies, the charge nurse told me. I had to tell her, well, you have to get approved, you have to fill out paperwork, you got to be approved. Miss Johnston spoke up and said, oh, I've been approved. How many of you know it's go time? Don't mess with grandma. Miss Johnson literally said, I've been approved. She goes, no, you need to fill out the paperwork and it has to be approved upstairs. She goes, oh, I just spoke with the man upstairs. It's been approved. Miss Johnson filled out the paperwork. She literally waited there. She goes, well, ma'am, it might be a couple days. I have to send it up. She goes, go ahead and send it. It's been approved. How many know faith is a good thing to have? She sent the paperwork up. How many of you know it got approved? Miss Johnston comes in 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And it's interesting, I remember this, The charge center said, not 4:59, not 5:01, but 5 o'clock. She comes in at 5 o'clock. She anoints the babies with oil. She prays over them, and she sings a song over them. Every baby, every single baby, even the ones that you can't pick up, they have to stand there, they have the little arm things that go in them. And she sits there, and she literally does the exact same thing. She prays over the babies. Every single baby. She anoints them with oil, prays over them, and sings a song over them. And you want to know the song she sings over them? It's this. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Over every single baby. I looked at the charge and I said, that is an amazing story. I said, but there's 12 rocking chairs here. Charge nurse spoke up and said, oh, grandma has friends. I said, yeah. And she goes, and you don't want to mess with the grandma mafia. This is what she called them. How many of you know Christian grandma mafias are out there? They exist. They run the show. Understand that. She said, these ladies show up and they take charge. They take charge. And praise God for ladies like that. Amen. Praise God for women of God like that, that step up, say, no, we're not having it. Charge nurse looked at me and she said, do you want to see them? It's 10 till 5. I looked at the guys and go, I want to see them. Guess what? Not at 4:59, not at 5:01, but 5 o'clock, Grandma Mafia shows up. Literally, it is on. I've never seen anything like it. They came in. They scrubbed in. They already had scrubs. They have their own uniforms. Man, they put the hairnets on, the gloves on, the glasses, the mask on, and they come in, and man, it's doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. It's on! Man, we were trying to get out of their way. We're like, oh, God, Grandma's coming. Get a move. Let me step out of the way. They meant business and serious business. They grabbed these babies. Man, they'd hold them. They would protect them. They would take them to the rocking chairs. Every single one of them would anoint with oil. Man, pray over, sing over. And when I say sing, sing. It's on. It's like it was their grandchild that they're believing God to save. And when they were done, they got up and they're gone. They weren't looking for praise. They're not looking for glory. They're not looking for the pat on the back. They're not, guess what? They're doing God's work. They're about God's business. Have you ever seen something take place or met somebody, Pastor Scott, that makes you want to be a better person, a better man, a better Christian, I literally, when I walked out, I'm like, oh, God, I stink. I said, guys, we just got showed up by 88. You know, I'm like, man, Grandma Mafia just kicked our butts. They did it. And it made me want to be a better person. We all came out of there going, man, we've got a work to do. We've got to up our game. If an 88-year-old lady can step up to the plate, my gosh. I got to step up. I can better something. I don't want to be showed up by Grandma Mafia. I looked at the charge nurse and said, ma'am, thank you so much for letting me see this go down. I said, seriously, thank you. This has turned the day into a great day. She goes, I'm not done. I went, oh, God. She goes, I brought you here for this. So I could simply tell you this. That from the day that Mrs. Johnston walked into this building and started praying over these babies, we haven't lost one child. We haven't lost one single baby. The Children's Hospital in downtown Dallas, Texas is the number one children's hospital in the world, on the globe. And it has nothing to do with doctors or medicines or a facility. It has everything to do with an 88-year-old lady who said, God, use me. Use me. And God told her what to do, and she did it. And she's changing everything. Pastor Scott, I believe God is looking for people, a church in every community, in every city, in every town, in every school, everywhere. God is looking for those ones that will go, use me. Teenagers, you want to go into school year this year and you want to be popular and you want it to be great? Well, guess what? Go, God, use me, and watch you go against the grain of the world. And you'll be noticed for God's doings. And not only that, just like Mrs. Johnston, you won't stay alone. God will bring people to surround you and be with you. You'll never be alone. Not only that, God will bless your life. Parents, grandparents, God is looking for men and women just like you, saying, God, use me. God is looking for a Mrs. Johnston in Arcadia, Florida. Not only that, if a church simply stood up and said, use us, this church right here could change Arcadia forever. This church right here could reverse the curse that is taking place in Arcadia forever. I've seen it happen all over the United States of America. I believe in Pastor Scott. I'm getting to know him, and I'm getting to know him. But I believe in this church. I love the spirit that I'm feeling that is in this building. I know that's a God thing. The church isn't this building. The church is you. It's a beautiful facility. Well done. Well done. But God is looking for His church to stand up for Him right here, right now, in this place, in this city. How many of you parents, grandparents believe in legacy? A great legacy. Your children, your children's children, and your children's children's children. That's all we have. And we've got to fight for it. We've got to stand up and become those mighty men and mighty women and mighty family, mighty marriages of God. Tonight is not going to be church as normal. It's go time. When I come up, I'm not coming up to be a nice guy. I'm coming up on a mission to go after the lost tonight. When you leave those doors today, these double doors, when you leave this building today, I want you on a mission on who you can get here tonight that needs Jesus. I need you here tonight. What can you do? Just like Miss Johnston did. And guess what? Mrs. Johnston is in better health now than she's like ever been. How many know God's not done with her? She's enjoying life right now. The latter years are greater than her former. She talks about her life. Her life was horrible. She was abused as a child. Abused. All right? Her latter years are great. It's amazing. She's loving life. And guess what? She's changing life. And God's working through her and extending her years. God wants to bless you now. Let's not wait till we're 88. Let's do it now. Amen. Let me pray for you. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you for this time where we can come in here, Father God, and learn about you. Learn how we can be conformed to you, Father God. Lord, I just ask you to open up the hearts, the minds, the emotions of everybody in here today. Lord, speak to them today, Father God, on what you want them to do. Lord, I ask that every single one of them this morning will say to you and look to you, God, use me. God, tell me what you want me to do. And they will be faithful and just to do what you have told them to do. From the little things to the big things, Lord. Bless their families. Bless their lives. Bless them in every area of their life, Father God. We give you all the praise and all the glory for what you have done, but more importantly, for what you're going to do. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for everybody that's going to show up. Lord, I thank you for the souls that are about to come into the kingdom of God. Their names that are about to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. Lord, we call these lost souls, these people forward from the north, the south, the east, and the west of Arcadia to be here tonight. I pray for the loved ones of everybody in this church that don't know you tonight, Lord Jesus. Bring them here tonight. Let tonight be a miracle night, Father God. A life-changing night, Lord Jesus. Let that be tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Turn on the lights real quick. Thank you. I want to close with this. This is my third closing. I'm an evangelist. I get five. Pastor's given me the opportunity. Come up here, Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott has given me the opportunity to take up a love offering for this ministry, for the crusade that's coming up in October. How many believe in getting into these schools? Come on now. How many believe in getting into these schools? How many think it's time we take back what the devil stole from this community? Amen. How many of you want to see Jesus put back into the public schools of America? Well, I need some heroes this morning to pay for these schools. See, we don't charge the public schools of America. 11 years ago, God told me to stop charging the public schools. You know why? Because the schools that need it the most can't afford it. Why didn't I get your headset?
Because it's mine.
See, yours is all cool and nice. Mine's like Godzilla hanging on my face. The schools that need it the most can't afford it, church. The inner schools of America, the rural schools of America, the inner city schools, all of them can't afford it. Are you guys rural? What are you here? You guys are like your own...
Our own thing.
You're your something. You're something. But you got to have a guy with a vet, so you're cool. Wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dude, you own a vet and you live in a motorhome? You need priorities changing, dude. Or you also own a motorhome? I like him. He's cool. He's cool. Have you ridden in his Corvette?
Mm-mm.
Oh, he don't like you then. There's five schools that we're believing in. Five, correct? I talked to Pastor Matt. I've talked to all the pastors.
I think so,
but
yeah.
There's five. There's three elementary schools, a middle school, and a high school, correct?
Correct.
Okay. We need to get these schools covered. How much did we charge to do schools 11 years ago? It was $1,000 a school assembly. That's what it costs to do schools, to come in and set up and do. You guys, if you've seen it, you've seen the setup. We would go in there and do these school assemblies. God told me to stop charging the public schools of America, and I freaked out. That's how we made it. And I said, God, how are we going to make it? He said, ask my people. Simply said, ask my people. And I said, God, I have to take an offering. I don't take offerings. I don't do that. That's something churches do. And he goes, it's not about you. It's so that when my people give, I can bless their lives. That's what he told me. So now I simply take up a love offering to get us into these schools. And we need some heroes today. Some heroes today. You know, that just sparked something in me. Can I have 5 minutes? Three.
Two.
Okay. Do you know what a hero is? I wasn't going to say this. Do you know what a hero is? I said this, we need some heroes, and that just sparked something. We literally need some heroes right now to step up. And I never knew what a hero is. And I mean, I talked to military and special forces and SEALs and football teams and baseball teams and basketball. I'm a speaker, period, and I bring people to Jesus all over. But you want to know what a hero is? We were in New York. I got 2 minutes. We were in New York. And I spoke to a pastor there. I got to meet a pastor there when 9/11 happened. He was on another skyscraper watching the towers go down. Plain and simple. And as a man of God, as a pastor, he watched the second plane come in. And he was like on the 30th floor or whatever in another building. And he said, as a pastor, all he could do, man, he was laying hands on the window. He was praying for the people. Get them out. And then Tower 1 fell. And he says, Jared, as I stood up there on the skyscraper, I could watch the wall of dirt go through the city like a virus. And all the thousands and thousands of people are running, and you're just looking down, you're watching it. And he says, I was watching firefighters and police cars and ambulance running to the towers. And he says, I watched these three fire trucks coming from different directions right underneath me. They went to the second tower, and they got out of their fire trucks, and they're in their dust and stuff, but I could see them. And he says, as I was looking down, I was literally pounding on my glass, pounding on it. Don't go in! Don't go in! The first building just fell. You're going to die. Don't do it. Run! And thousands of people are running, getting out. You don't want to know what he saw? He says, this is what a hero is. I saw those firefighters get out. I saw them. They had their axes. Man, they had their tanks on their back. They put their helmets on. 3 foot different fire trucks met up right there together. At Tower 2, it's on fire. He says, they got in a circle. He says, they put their hands on each other and made a circle more like a football. And he says, I saw their helmets bow. And they prayed. They prayed. And they're praying. He's like, God. And he was like praying, God, give them wisdom. Talk to them, Lord. Get them out. Tell them to go. Opposite way. Nothing they can do. He says, their helmets came up. He says, you could see them encourage each other. Man, they're hitting each other. Man, come on, let's go. Man, they grabbed their axes. They grabbed their picks. And they ran in. They ran in Tower 2. He says, I saw them running in. 13 minutes, whoa. Tower 2 fell. He said he just dropped on the floor in his office, just dropped, crying. He looked at me and he told me, he goes, you want to know what a hero is? And I'm like, those firefighters? It's a powerful story. He goes, somebody who goes in for somebody they don't even know. Those firefighters charged in there for somebody they don't even know. He looked at me and he says, if it was my son, you know, you got 7 kids. You could start your own, you know, cult. You know, but if your son was in the house and the roof was on fire, you're in. Right. You're in. You're going in. Why? Because it's your son. You'll give your life for your son. You'll give. But if it's somebody you don't even know, you're like, man, I hope the fire department gets here. Man, they better get here. Is there somebody inside? That's man, I hope. Are they okay? You know, but listen to me. I went to the fire academy when I was in college. I did. There's not a wall in my house that can stop me. It's drywall. I'm going through every, if a door's on fire, fine. If I get burnt, fine. I'm going in, grab my son, and I'm coming out the side wall that had no door, but now there is one. I'm coming out because I understand how that works. Most people don't. In your house, those are drywall. I could put my fist through it. Yet, me running, I'm coming through, and I'm grabbing my son, and I'm getting out. But to go in for somebody you don't even know, that's a hero. 5 schools. I need 50 heroes to give $100 tonight. And there's 150 people here. Every single family could go, man, let's get into these schools. We want this crusade to be as big as it can get. That's what I'm believing God for, is just 50 heroes to step. There could be a businessman here, you know, that can sponsor a school, $1,000, a half a school, $500, $250. I'm not telling you what to give, and listen to me. I would never tell you what to give, and I stand strong on this. God will give you the figure to give, not me. I'm just telling you what I'm believing God for these 5 schools, for these 5 schools to be paid for. I want everybody to take out their checkbook, their billfold, or wallet. If you're given a check, you write it to this church. Write it to this church. What's the name of the church?
Calvary Baptist.
Calvary Baptist. You write it to this church. If you're giving cash, just go. Do we take up an offering? I don't know how you do it here.
We have an offering box.
You have an offering box. So how do we separate the two?
Just write Power for Life in the memo of the check.
Just write, okay, Power.
Right.
Okay, will that work?
That works.
Just write Power, okay? Right. And if you're giving to this, write Power. If you're giving cash, write Power. If you did not bring your checkbook, listen to me, this is very important. If you did not bring your checkbook, here's what you do. You borrow your neighbor's. And you give like you've never given before. Sponsor a school or whatever. But Pastor, will you pray over this offering?
Sure.
It's all yours.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to learn more about this ministry. Lord, we're grateful for these guys and the ministry that you have given them to go and to be your witnesses to the lost in our community. Lord, we do know that our schools need the gospel. Our schools need our prayers, especially as we think of teachers and kids starting back this week. Lord, we pray for a good school year. Lord, we pray that each one of our teachers, each one of the students represented in this church would be light. Lord, they would be your witnesses. And Lord, we do pray for this power team as they're trying to get into the schools to shine your light as well. Lord, we just pray for this love offering that we will be taking up, not only today, but if people feel led to give over the next few weeks or months leading up to the crusade, Lord, we pray for that as well. But Lord, we just pray that you'll meet the needs that are there so that we can get these guys into these schools and make a difference in the lives of the kids there. So Lord, again, we're just grateful for this time to be faithful to do what you ask us to do. And Lord, we just pray your blessings on it. In Jesus' name, amen.